Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 2, Chapter 10. We'll be covering texts 26 through 30. And yesterday we discussed text 25 of Chapter 10. And that verse was very nicely connected with the final verse of Chapter 7. Final verse of Chapter 7. What was that about? Anybody remember? It was a long time ago. It was 24 hours ago. We discussed the news. What was the subject? Purushavatars. A little more? Yeah? If you can't understand the Lord interacting with his material potencies, how is there going to be any approach to the Lord with his internal potencies? So there's a lot of gravity in hearing this weight of hearing this subject of the Lord and his potencies, although that's not easy. And the whole, if it's just the conclusion of a large section of Canto 2 is understanding the subject matter is very important. The Lord and his potencies, the Lord and his material potencies, the potencies of creation. In fact, the chapter ends by saying that one is sure to get release from the illusory energy if one has this proper understanding, because then we know how to act. Okay, so a conclusion part from text 25 was, how do we know how to act? What's that? Prabhupada disclosed the secret. Shh. Tell everybody. It's telling me the secret. That kind of secret. What was the secret? In relation to creation, we spoke about the Virat Rupa. And because the Lord saw the desire of living entities to enjoy, he started manifesting features in that universal form so that then they downstream and in cause and effect chain could have similar experience. Because without the Lord having the experience, without the Lord seeing, we can't see. Without the Lord walking, we can't walk. So, what was the secret? What's the material side is? Not seeing the relationship with the Lord. And so that falls into the default mode. The default mode means sense gratification. Receive something, just like children, immediately. How to enjoy it? Immediately. No moment's delay. How to enjoy it? And by having this knowledge of relationship of things with the Supreme, without a moment's delay, what's the secret? Yes, exactly. Specific language that Prabhupada makes here is execute sacrifices toward path of pleasing the personality of Godhead, which is the formula of world peace. Mokaram yagatapasam sarvalokam yishmam suhradam sarvabhutanam. That's not the verse that Prabhupada quotes. The two verses that Prabhupada quotes are from the 18th chapter, texts 45 and 46, where the principle of sacrifice through occupational duty. I see some people in the audience here that have occupational duty. So, perform the occupational duty as an act of sacrifice unto the Supreme. So it will lead you through your occupational duties to the Supreme. Through the meaning of sacrifice. That's chapter 3, Bhagavad Gita. The Lord sent forth generations of men and demigods and blessed them by saying, be happy. The sacrifice, yajna, But yajna means yajna by Vishnu, the target is Vishnu. Not just everyone sacrificing. Who isn't sacrificing? Is there somebody that isn't sacrificing? We're all sacrificing something. But for the satisfaction of Vishnu, that's the target, that's the secret. So, diversities of life, that's not the problem. Different propensities, that's not the problem. It's not that everybody has to become cookie cutter the same. That's not the Bhagavad message. That which one received from the Lord by scriptural direction under the guidance of the spiritual master performed sacrifice unto the Lord. You receive something. You receive some senses. You receive some objects of the senses. You receive the capacity to do something with the senses and the objects of the senses. Fine. Make sacrifice unto the Supreme. So that's the what we heard yesterday. Specifically, the limb, the sense that was being spoken about as being manifest was the legs, and so Prabhupada went into with the legs. We go here and there, and we do different things. So, coming up are other limbs and other organs of the body. There's a nice long purport, surprisingly, on the genitals of the living entity, the genitals of the Lord, the evacuation hole of the Lord and the living entities, the navel of the Lord and the living entities, the abdomen, intestines, and arteries of the Lord and the living entities, the heart, the mind, and determination of the Lord and the living entities. That's as far as we'll go. So, in each of these, there's acts of sacrifice. So that's where the essence, there's three points, three essences. If you forget the detail, remember the essences. Three. Through acts of sacrifice, one can connect this temporary creation, we can connect with the Lord through acting upon this temporary creation, through acts of sacrifice. A second, kind of overarching theme here, is the Lord is not impersonal, he's personal. We're third, it's related to the first two, but we're dependent. We're not independent. The Lord is person, we're person. He's the supreme independent, we're fully dependent. Put those two things together, you get devotional service. And that's the third item. Sacrifice, act of sacrifice unto the supreme. As far as the dependent, Prabhupada in one sentence purport says, even in the matter of evacuation, we're dependent. We're dependent. Imagine, what would it be like? We wouldn't live very long if we weren't able to evacuate, and we're not able to do that. Even the substance, according to the description of these verses, is the capacity to evacuate, the hold of evacuation, the substances that evacuate. They're all under the control of the Supreme Lord. That's the consequence of our desire for food and drink, because by taking food and drink, then we're replenishing the energy of the body that becomes expended through our activities. And so the Lord makes arrangements for food and drink. Capacity. I'll read that. the abdomen, when there was a desire to have food and drink, the abdomen and the intestines and also the arteries became manifested. The rivers and seas are the sources of their sustenance and metabolism. So, just to connect with, we're not independent. We may want to eat something and want to drink something. We're dependent. And then we're dependent to process that which we eat and drink to gain energy and strength. Prabhupada says the food and drink replaces the waste of bodily energies through the process of metabolism. And it creates sustenance. We can sustain our lives. We're dependent. Therefore, the body's health is dependent on healthy actions of the intestines and the arteries. So there's a way of life that goes with living healthy, living in a healthy way. This is the mode of goodness. So a devotee has that already. And people that don't have God consciousness, they're trying for health. But what is the target for health? So they can have more sense gratification. So there's never happiness or peacefulness. When, in text 30, when there was a desire to think about the activities of his own energy, his is with a capital H, so the Supreme Lord's energy, when there was a desire to think about the activities of his own energy, then the heart, which is the seat of the mind, and the mind, the moon, which is the controlling deity of the mind, determination, and all desire became manifested. So because that was manifested in the universal form, it then became possible for living entities. Because without the Lord's having desire and a mind, the living entities don't have desire and a mind. So he did all these things just for the living entities. This is the loving Father. Very interesting purport, Srila Prabhupada writes. Just a comment while I think of it. Prabhupada explained that the moon is the controlling deity of the mind. Thus, Prabhupada explained, when there's a full moon night, we find people that are unstable mentally have greater difficulty in full moon night. Their mind is... And I've seen it. Not all the time, but I've seen where certain people, their mental activity greatly increases on the full moon nights of each month. Of course, when it comes to Krishna, those are very nice nights for rasa dance. But it's enlivening. It's brings great happiness when one's heart is pure, and when one's heart is impure, or the airs of life are in imbalance, it excites the airs of life, thus bringing all kinds of eruptions and a disturbed, imbalanced mind, materially. This is a material influence on material energy. Prabhupada's purport, the heart, of every living entity is the seat of the Supersoul, Paramatma. Inner expansion of the personality of Godhead. Without his presence, the living entity cannot get into the working energy according to his past deeds. The living entities who are conditioned in the material world are manifested in the creation in terms of respective inclinations inherent in them. That's like guna and karma, both. Guna is, by contact with modes, we have a tendency governed by the modes. Some like this and some like that. You know, different propensities that people have. Some like to read. Some like to sleep. Some like to work. Some like to earn money. Some like this and some like that. So you have different propensities born of the modes of nature and also our previous deeds. The previous deeds are then bringing reactions according to those deeds and compelling influences according to our past deeds. In different inclinations, in determination. Like, you all have a very nice regulation. But supposing for some period of time due to illness, or circumstance, or something, and there's days and days in a row where you just can't keep the regulation. It makes it more hard, more difficult. It weakens determination. Whereas by continuing in a steady stream, once you're in this pattern of regulation you all have, it's easy. It's not a big effort. The other's a big effort. The other's a pain in the neck, irregulation. But people who see, oh, look at your regulation, and we, you know, those that are regulated look at others and say, how do they manage minds? Very disturbing, very agitating to the mind. That's what it is. And that is a struggle. So my point is, determination builds from good habits, good practices. The determination of the mind becomes strong. Once Prabhupada was asked, it's in the series from Los Angeles, the Perfection of Yoga series. We call it, they're reading the sixth chapter of Bhagavad Gita. Prabhupada stops and speaks something. And it comes to the topic of determination. Vritta-vritta. And someone asks, how does one become, Prabhupada asks the question that answers, how does one become very determined? How does one increase one's determination? By voluntarily accepting austerities. So, there's an austerity in being regulated. There's an austerity in rising early. But by accepting those authorized types of austerities, one's determination becomes stronger, and it just becomes part of your life. Just to see, it's a resource. It's an opulence to be determined. And not feel inconvenienced by austerities. Feeling happy by austerities. That's Brahmana. Brahmanas like austerity. The scriptures say austerity is the wealth of the Brahmana. You heard that before? Austerity is the wealth of the Brahmana. Well, gee, you know, you look at austerity, looks like not having things, that's austerity. Not having things is wealth? Yes, because the wealth is then determination. That which one wants to achieve, one can achieve because there's strong determination. But that strong determination doesn't come in the life of unrestricted senses. Okay, very good. So restricted senses. Oh, it hurts. Oh, it hurts. It doesn't hurt. It's indulging in the senses. That hurts. The pinch is short term, and the long term is great spiritual benefit. The wealth of the brahmanas. And so, in that condition of wealth, of great determination, the brahmanas can contemplate subject matters that are very subtle and understand them very easily. They have access into the treasure of the Vedas. That's their wealth. But not without regulation and sense control. It's nice. Very nice understanding. It should not be done in some artificial way or some radical way or some impulsive way beyond one's capacity. But those things that are within one's capacity, incrementally we increase and increase and increase the standard. It's not that one becomes, it's the flip side of, or the exact opposite of, material prosperity. Material prosperity is then one indulges more and more and more. In the spiritual life, one's life becomes simplified more and more and more. Like Maharaj Ambarish. Nice example. His opulence surpassed, not just rival, but surpassed that of the heavenly planets. As far as Maharaj Ambarish was concerned, no more significant than a pebble. Walk outside the door and see a pebble in the ground. Then you get excited? Not at all. No more significant than a pebble. And although he had all that opulence, he's engaging in the austerities of Ekadasi Vrata for a whole year. Very special Vrata. It's not so he can get a bigger treasury. So he can purify himself and get closer to Krishna. But merit goes to the king or the person who engages, just like as parents or as members of a community, you engage, whatever the austerities, whatever they are that you engage in, benefit goes to those who are connected to you. Automatically, spiritually, it happens. So Maharaj Ambarish was interested in the welfare of his citizens. Their prosperity was ensured by his austerity. It's wonderful. It's just the opposite of material life. Just the opposite. And naturally, because one is the object and the other is the reflection of the object. Reality and illusion. People that are madly chasing after illusion think, let me get more, because then I can enjoy more. And the devotees are thinking, let me have less, so I can enjoy more. There's less in sense of proprietorship. And if something comes my way, immediately it goes to Krishna. And this understanding of the process of creation helps us to get there. Living entities who are conditioned in the material world are manifested in the creation in terms of respective inclinations inherent in them, and the requisite material body is offered to each and every one of them by the material energy under the direction of the Supersoul. This is explained in Bhagavad Gita 9:10. Maya Jagshena Prakriti. When, therefore, the Supersoul is situated in the heart of the conditioned soul, the requisite mind is manifested in the conditioned soul, and he becomes conscious of his occupation, as one is conscious of his duty after waking up from slumber.
So certainly this is on the spiritual side, but even on the material side, someone during their sleep forget everything.
And when they wake up, oh, I've got to go to the office. Slug down my cup of coffee and eat my breakfast and run off to the office. That's my duty. And when they don't have, so but when one is seeking purity, then my duty to reach Krishna through my activities of life, it comes into the mind. How does one always think of Krishna? By becoming attached to Krishna. You always think of Krishna. So we're all attached to something. Let's decide what we want to be attached to. Sense gratification? In different shapes and varieties? Or the personality of Godhead? What do we want to become attached to? So this process of going through Srimad Bhagavatam is to help us become attached to Krishna. So I'm going to ask you to put this on pause for a moment. And you can all look at your notes. Okay, any discussion? Two things. The in Madhurya Kandambani Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur discusses there are stages to come to steadiness into the Nishtha platform. And two of the stages mentioned is where one makes a vow to do something that will benefit one's spiritual life, but that vow to do something doesn't hold. And another is, there's something that's disturbing my spiritual life, my devotional practice, so I should eliminate it, or at least reduce it or control it. That's another kind of unsteadiness. So, I'm citing that for this purpose, that's what you described as anishtha bhakti. So it's, don't be unhappy. It's just part of the process of coming to steady devotional service. And second point is that what I said specifically is repeating Srila Prabhupada, that voluntarily accepting austerities is not the only way, but it's a way to help increase one's determination. So austerities doesn't necessarily mean, oh, it hurts. Austerities means we forego something lesser in order to achieve something greater. So if we exercise that muscle, we see the prayas, and we forego the shreyas. Excuse me, the other way around. We see the shreyas, and we forego the prayas. That's austerity, voluntarily. But it can also mean, in practical terms, like how we observe Ekadasis, and how we observe festival days and Janmashtamis, and how we observe Kartik month, and how we, just some increase of devotional practice and decrease of bodily necessity, just a culture of doing that. And how you conduct your day-to-day life. So you and your family personally have a very nice standard. And that will give you strength to go
pass this anishtha further into the nishtha stage, it will serve to strengthen your determination so that when there are things that are beneficial, it's easier to take them up. You know, go step back to the period of time before you had such regulation as you now have, and, you know, there's a whole other picture of life where, you know, even things that were good for you, you didn't even know what they were. And if they were put in front of you, it would be no. Now it's, they're put in front of you, and some of them are accepted, and some of them are, you know, still working on acceptance, you know, in corporate. So, there's strength. And that strength doesn't dissipate, and one should always be striving to move the fulcrum a little bit further. You can lift that weight that's on the other end. So, moving the standards, not in an extreme, radical, impulsive way, but in doable, just like starting chanting and gradually working up to 16 rounds. So that's something we do now that we're at 16 rounds. What are other areas where we can increase? And we pick doable areas. And as you just keep moving down the field, then it just becomes a natural part of life. The thing to, the greater concern than what you expressed is, you know, that what you expressed is there are some good areas that I'm not incorporating them. The greater concern is slackening, becoming complacent. Big area of concern. So, to the antidote for complacency is that one should be always striving to go further. Complacency is material. It's, I've worked very hard and now I deserve a vacation. Sankalpa vikalpa. It's the mind. No vacation from devotional service. It's our constitutional position, it's to be serving Krishna. And to be serving Krishna, it's dynamic. So if it's coming from the heart, it won't diminish. If it's coming from the mind, mental acceptance, I did my part, I should get some perks now. Conception of material approach. So don't worry so much about those things that you aren't yet incorporating. Slowly, things that are doable, you do them. But be really concerned about complacency. Slackening in effort, slackening in submission, slackening in the strong connection with those sources of inspiration and Krishna consciousness. Be very careful about that beast. Vicious. And it doesn't look so bad. It looks like that. Normal person as well. Anything else? Yes. No. One may think like that, but that's not what the standard of voluntary austerity. Voluntary austerity is, there's something that's coming down in an authorized manner, and some opportunity is there, so I embrace that opportunity. Maybe whatever it may be, maybe rising early, that may be for somebody who's in austerity. It may be, you know, I can't eat other things. You know, if I'm restraining myself from eating other things, that may be an austerity. Whatever it is, someone faces, but it's not that it hurts. It's happy. It's happiness. It does hurt. Yeah, I'm not doing so bad. A little enjoyment. So I feel part of the crowd here. To that I say, that's austerity. It's suffering. It's painful. Although it looks, that's the mode of passion. It looks like enjoyment. But right behind that, it looks like enjoyment is misery. That's happiness in the mode of passion. So, I say to you, that's the, you discriminate. What happiness in the mode of goodness, even beyond that is transcendental happiness, but just happiness in the mode of goodness, as opposed to happiness in the mode of passion. What's on the other side of that indulgence that these people are, they don't know at all any kind of standards? It's suffering. Suffering. On the plane ride from Chicago to Los Angeles, the man sitting next to me offered me his New York Times, and I opened up the New York Times. You know, I wasn't interested, but he said, oh, it's the New York Times. It's okay. And I looked at the, you know, and I opened up and saw this advertisement. I don't even tell you what the advertisement is. It just closed up and that newspaper and put it away. Just, you know, agitating the minds of the New York Times readers for sense gratification. Well, thank you. Not like I'm missing out on something because I don't get that sense of information. Just agitating the mind and taking it further down the tunnel of darkness. And this big bully at the other end ready to beat you up. No thanks. As they say, been there, done that, no thanks. No thanks. Now go back to, you know, a particular austerity. If it's doable, let me do it. If it's not doable, I'm not going to be in an agitated state of mind that I can't do it, like this earlier question. I'll trust that in due course of time. I want to go there. I want the light at the darkness. That's a rule of my life. That's something that becomes part of the sadhaka's value system. Tamasima Jyotir Dharma, which is a phrase the Prabhupada took back to Godhead from. Jyotir Dharma, back to Godhead. But the other is Tamasima. But then it's very helpful, so one more time, why? Be really clear. Something that Prabhupada, one of the gifts that Prabhupada gave, great gift that Prabhupada gave, is answers to the why questions. And educated people want answers to the why questions. And in the modern way of things, all over the world, it's not just that because tradition says you do it this way, therefore we do it this way. But then the question is, well, why does tradition say you do it this way? Why? Or why not? Come on. It's whether it's somebody else saying come on to the mind saying come on. It's the mind. It's just an initial energy. It's just like, Prabhupada has used this expression, so I'll use it. It's just like an unchaste prostitute pulling up her skirt saying, come on. No, forget it. But not if the mind contemplates, well, maybe there's some enjoyment here. And this is a lecture Prabhupada gave in Henry Street in Brooklyn. Maya's calling. Come and enjoy me so I can kick you in the face. This is mine. So ask yourself the why questions. Is there real enjoyment here? Go down that path. Just look down that path. Imagine going down that path. Is there enjoyment there? No. In my dear mind, why are you bothering me like this? The intelligence says there's no enjoyment down there. Mind, sit down, behave yourself. I'm going where the intelligence says. That's it. Quiet. That's it. I'm not going to listen. Scream all you like. I'm not going to listen. I'm not going to be ruled by the mind. I'm going to be ruled by higher intelligence. I'm going to the light. So that's, you know, determination is the intelligence ruling over the mind. You may have to go over the same ground 10 times, 20 times, 100 times. Okay, go over the same ground enough times so that it's really clear. Don't just be a blind follower, because that's from the mind. Then you're not clear. And somewhere down the way, the mind gets loud enough and you listen to the mind. So, you shouldn't be artificial, you should be real. Nirvyalika in the language of the Bhagavad. Without pretension. Without pretension, we have to be prepared. Why are we doing this? Look, you know, why do materialists do what they're doing? What's it all about? Do I want that? If the answer is no, let me be really clear. If the answer is not clear, let me get clear. Do I want that? If the answer is yes, why? If the answer is no, why? Be clear. Okay, I'm clear. Now, but that's not enough, because discrimination isn't enough. We have the power of discrimination, and sure enough, we find ourselves doing things. You know, our intelligence said, don't do it. Or, do it, and we don't do it. Not enough. So the added strength is this surrender to Krishna, the acts of sacrifice to the Supreme. That's from our constitutional position. That's a higher energy than power of discrimination. That's the power of the soul. Connect to Krishna. Isn't that where there's the greatest happiness? Whatever it is. You know, there's the, you just observed Govardhan Puja, so I'm sure you had a nice Govardhan Puja festival. Putting on the Govardhan Puja festival and having a nice big feast afterwards, and, you know, nice kirtan, and, you know, that's a happiness that doesn't compare to parties and all the stuff that people do. So that's one aspect of devotional service, but then the sense control part, that's also an aspect of devotion, and that has a happiness in it also. It's another kind of happiness than the happiness of sense intelligence. It's a greater happiness. When you're doing something where the feeling, a conscious awareness, is Krishna's acting through me, there's no more satisfying feeling. Same activity, but done in consciousness with Krishna's acting through me. Greater satisfaction. Discussing this with my brother. And then that's the path that we're moving on. And this other, this, it grabs a hold of us and keeps us from that path. It's Maya. It's an illusory energy of the Lord. And so you contemplate, and Maya's got you. And even before you do something that, you know, may not be the best thing, or you refrain from doing what you know is the best thing, Maya's got you. Got your attention. So, see Maya for what she is. Like a jongleur, contemplating the prostitute. All it took. When he went back to his home, he tried chanting his mantras and reading from the scriptures and doing his pujas and doing his nice political activity, and he couldn't get her off his mind. By contemplation, one develops attachment. That's where complacency invites contemplation of enjoyment. The idle mind is the devil's workshop. You stay always engaged, but not just in, you know, in a passionate way, but in a very thoughtful way. Go down the path of devotional service with your eyes wide open, asking lots of questions, being very inquisitive, being very introspective, doing things thoughtfully, being present as you're doing each of the things that you're doing. It will give you strength to just kick away this call for sense enjoyment. Okay. Said with my one boot, I can kick away all of these things. You get strength from those that are guiding you also, instructing you. They have strong boots. I'm helping. Anything else? Yeah. Well, this is a particular version of the question he asked. It's the same question he asked. just a particular application of that same question. Okay, I answered. You go back and listen to the answer. It's there. I'll touch on something in response to your question that wasn't covered in previous response. Regret is good. It's a springboard for going further. Dwelling in regret is not good. It's lamentation. That's the word of ignorance, and one goes down instead of up. Recognize, regret, and rectify. There's three R's. And rectify. So it says put your energy in rectifying it, even if it, however many times it takes, however many times, it says that this is where determination comes. Just keep striving. And strive in such a way you're recognizing, I can't do this without Krishna. Krishna! Prayasa. When Mother Jasoda was trying to bind Krishna, she couldn't bind Krishna. She's Mother Jasoda, and who are you? She couldn't bind Krishna. Got so many ropes and always too short. 2 inches too short. Always the same amount too short. Doesn't make sense. More rope, still 2 inches too short. That's Mother Jasoda. But Mother Jasoda, because of her love and her determination, Krishna then exhibited his Kripa Shakti. So, choice A and B. Do we want to cross the finish line feeling, I did it? Or do we want to approach the finish line feeling, Krishna is so kind, he's helping me to cross the finish line? So go there. You won't cross the finish line without your name. You connect your endeavor to be very regulated with a very devotional mood, prayerful, depending upon Krishna mood. That's nice. That's what we want. And then whether you cross the finish line or don't cross the finish line, you cross the finish line because you're connected to Krishna. And surely Krishna will help you. And he'll pick you up and carry you across the finish line, drop you on the other side and say, Hari Bol. And he'll say, Hari Bol. That's Krishna consciousness. Beware of lamenting. Continue, be perseverant in prayas, endeavoring, and leave the results up to Krishna. Controlling is Krishna's department, and serving is our department, and make sure you got that straight, whose department is whose. Serving is our department. Controlling is Krishna's department. So we want to do to be successful to please Krishna. And then we'll be happy. How's that? Krishna will be there. Something else? Yes. Hare Krishna.
Take slowly, please. The moon is controlling the human mind, as controlling the galaxy.
Yes. And for us, Gaurachandra is our moon. Krishna Chandra is our moon. Anything the moon has comes from Krishna. That's the devotional perspective. What do you think? Huh? Okay. Anything else? Sure, different levels of austerity. Say it again. Well, let's say, for example, fasting on Ekadasi. The different levels of fasting, yes? There's complete fast, nirjal. Then just taking water. Then just taking fruits or juices. Just taking fruits, or only taking foods that are not beans and grains. Yeah. So then you can look to increase austerities in a variety of ways, but you know, not artificial, but in, you know, appropriate ways. Chant certain stotras on a regular basis. So. Here, chant. Those are the tapa. We hear of the tapa of Lord Brahma, but what was the tapa that Lord Brahma did? It was chanting of his mantra. That was his tapa. Thank you very much, Shiva Prabhupada. Ki Jai.